This month, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention gave the official go-ahead for fully vaccinated people to travel within the U.S., but the agency still recommends that people hold off on all non-essential travel while the pandemic continues. National and international travel have seen massive declines in the last year. From the beginning of March until the end of 2020, industry experts say the travel economy lost about $1.6 billion each day. People in the business are hoping to see leisure travel rebound this year. What it's going to look like? Still an open question. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you fully vaccinated and planning to do some traveling, maybe soon? Are you limiting your travels, maybe just to emergency situations? Where are you dreaming of going when it's safe? And what does safe mean to you? And if you work in a travel-related business, love to hear your experience as well. At 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Betsy Pudliner is an associate professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW-Stout. She's worked in the tourism industry for more than 30 years. Her areas of expertise include marketing and consumer behavior. Betsy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it.
Well, I threw out a couple numbers there about how travel was hit. Can you give us more perspective on that? How much were travel businesses hurt by the pandemic over the last year?
Well, let's take a look at pre-pandemic levels first. The USA had basically 11% of the total workforce. That's direct and indirect. Our economic impact in 2019 was $2.6 trillion. In 2020, our travel spending lost 42% overall, which was a drop to $679 million. Domestic travel lost 34%. Our international travel lost 76%. As you said, that equates to 1.6 million trillion lost daily in 2020. But more importantly, we lost $64 billion to federal, state, and local tax revenue since March 1st. On a state level, we lost 34%. Federal, we lost 37%. And local, we lost 26%. Unemployment, we're at 13.5% right now, second to behind the gas, petroleum, and shale industries. And we basically, we're gaining, though, back. If we look at Wisconsin particularly, 202,000 jobs were in Wisconsin in hospitality and tourism in 2019. We went down, of course, and we are back up now. We just gained 280,000 jobs in March alone. Food and beverage saw the largest increase to 176,000, where accommodations gained 40,000. But we're still down 18.5% in Wisconsin.
How did businesses try to cope with that? What kind of strategies did you see from businesses that rely on tourism to try to keep at least some of their hopes going and to be able to recover in the future?
Well, I'm really proud, especially looking at Menominee here. Our community support was outstanding. And that's what we really needed here in Menominee, as well as Wisconsin and across the United States, is that people took the time to say, look, we need to support these businesses. Let's get out there and help them as much as possible. Restaurants here in town set out outdoor dining during the summer months. They had curbside pickup. There's other initiatives across the state to help with other aspects like beverage. So they really it was a community effort on all our parts.
Now we have people getting vaccinated. The CDC says, okay, you can travel, but maybe hold off. So what are travel businesses looking at now that people are maybe getting ready to go back and visit again?
Well, they think there are going to be more people traveling by car instead of by airlines, but the airlines are picking up. We want to be people to be vaccinated, but it comes down to the masks and making sure that we're safe for everyone. So they're excited to return. Over half of the American travelers pulled by U.S. travel are excited to return to traveling. I know we're all itching to get out and about to see family and friends. We want to resume past travel habits, like we planned vacations that we had for 2020. We put them off. We moved them to this year. And we're starting to see an uptick in the number of people traveling. Health and safety measures are still the most, basically what people are still concerned about are health and safety, are the main concern of consumers.
We're talking about travel and tourism and what it's going to look like maybe as soon as this summer, as more people get vaccinated. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you change travel plans, put them on hold? What are you looking forward to doing when it's safe? What is going to be safe enough for you? If you work in a business that is directly or indirectly dependent on tourism, tell us what things have been like for you, what your hopes are for the coming months. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Betsy Podliner is with us from UW Stout, associate professor there in the School of Hospitality Leadership. And Betsy, we heard on the Ideas Network Facebook page from Lisa, who writes that she plans to camp and explore in Wisconsin and maybe Iowa. And that I know I've heard from a lot of people, anecdotally at least, Betsy, that a lot of people did more that kind of thing. Go to campgrounds, socially distanced outdoor type of activities. Did we see some bright spots in travel there?
No, that actually is on the uptick even more so. People are really looking for the rural and an authentic experience out into the grand spaces of our country. I know camping and RVing rentals as well as purchasing are up, so that's a good thing. So it's really the rural areas that are going to see a really nice uptick in that, in travel. Unfortunately, conventions and events and meetings are still going to be a hybrid situation, if not canceled and returned coming back in 2022 and 2023. Business is off for the most part in terms of travel. So we're really going to see that leisure area take off.
How dependent is Wisconsin on that kind of convention and business travel as opposed to, you know, I'm going on a vacation kind of travel?
Well, if we look at Milwaukee last year, they lost a great deal towards their businesses. I think that was 84% were canceled over the course of 2020, and they don't see an uptake in that until 2022, 2023. So that's a really loss to something like Milwaukee with their events.
Then when you look at a lot of the tourist destinations in the state, Wisconsin Dells, of course, pretty famous.
Oh, yeah.
The Door County, a lot of places in northern Wisconsin. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen at some of those different well-known tourist stops in Wisconsin?
Well, I was traveling over to Eau Claire last weekend, and I did see the one place along I-94, and the name skips ahead. I did see everybody out golfing outside on the miniature golf course, as well as it looked like a full parking lot. So it looks like people are traveling and getting out there. I think it's going to be outside activities that are going to draw people. And do you have the space for those outdoor activities? As well as if we're going to use something like the Dells, I mean, the great spaces over at the Dells, but the indoor activities like at the Kalahari and other things, can you ensure that people are going to be safe as well as when we're in such a closed and confined space?
I know you've worked some internationally as well. What are you looking at when it comes to when people can get on a plane and cross national boundaries for their travel?
Well, unfortunately, hopefully soon. We are down internationally across the board globally, down 76% for travel to international destinations. The question is, again, everybody has their own laws and dictates and what they're doing for, you know, surviving the pandemic. So are we prepared to basically test before we go, test during, or come back and test and also quarantine? So that vaccination is going to be important for us to open our doors to get people coming in back into our country as well as going international.
Talking to Betsy Podliner, associate professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW Stout. She's worked in the tourism industry for more than 30 years. Her areas of expertise include marketing and consumer behavior. We're looking at how the pandemic has reshaped the tourism and travel industry. And now we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you figure out some ways to get out and about over the last year? Maybe with that camping or outdoor related tourism? What kind of travel plans have you had on hold? What are you looking forward to now? Are you fully vaccinated and feeling like you're ready to rock? And if you work at a tourist attraction, hotel, restaurant that counts on tourism, or in a community that really depends on tourism in general, what are you seeing there? What kind of preparations are there to have a successful and safe summer season? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue that conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Betsy Pudliner. She's an associate professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW-Stout. We're talking to her about where the travel industry stands and where it's going as the pandemic continues. And you could tell us about your travel plans, if you have any, at 800-642-1234. Are you fully vaccinated and making a plan to travel somewhere in the state or beyond? Are you holding off for a while? If so, until what? Do you work in travel and tourism in one way or another? What are you seeing? What are you hoping for this summer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring on a caller now. Mark is with us in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
Hey there, friend. So my children are in winter sports, so they travel all over the Midwest for their sport, and it necessitates us staying overnight in a hotel. But because of COVID-19, nobody else could be in the swimming pool when we were there. And I didn't mind that so much. My wife and the three kids and I had the whole pool all to ourselves, and it was kind of nice.
I'm assuming that's an outdoor pool. I'm assuming that's last summer during the pandemic, Mark?
No, it was just this winter.
Oh, okay. Mark, thanks a lot for calling in. So people who have been able to travel, Betsy, maybe had a little more elbow room, it sounds like.
Yeah, especially if we're outdoor. Indoor is going to be difficult for large places that have, you know, indoor activities like the Dells. You know, I was talking to my students this morning and, you know, working in this industry, they found it uncomfortable to explain to a guest, you know, when they work in this industry, if they come in and they need to put a mask on, they don't know how really to deal with something like this. They're uncomfortable in talking to people about that because there's such a division in this country with people wanting to wear masks and people not wanting to wear masks. And we were discussing that today in class. And so we were strategizing, well, how are you going to get people to wear masks, to follow recommendations, the CDC guidelines? So it's one of those things that are really challenging for this industry.
What have you seen from individual businesses and how they've tackled that sometimes very awkward issue?
I see people, some managers, some employees approaching, like if at Walmart or at other grocery stores here around town. Some approach them, some don't. They're given, you know, a lot of leeway. It's not consistent. It's not a cohesive movement here in Menominee. I think it's going to be up to every individual that they have to realize their responsibility. I know as myself being on the high risk level, I have to, you know, take care of myself. So that's how I approach it, that, okay, I'm going to wear a mask because I need to wear a mask. You know, I will protect others. That's my responsibility. And that goes in for travel as well. If I go for travel, and getting on an airplane, I'd like to go back to Pennsylvania and see my mom. She's in a nursing home back home, and she's been on lockdown for a long time. But if I fly, I'm going to take care of myself. So that's what I think travelers are going to have to realize is, you know, think about yourself and also think about others.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mark. We'll go to Katie now in Sparta. Katie, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's in the works, Katie, for your travel?
We've been planning a motorcycle trip to Niagara Falls, and we were going to go to over to Marquette or over to Manitowoc and take the ferry across and then ride across Michigan and go into Canada and go to Niagara Falls and come back on the U.S. side. And the first year we planned to go, a friend dropped her bike and broke her ankle, so we couldn't go. We wanted to go last year while they had the border shut down. So we're hoping we can go this year, because we're all getting a little older and we got to do these trips while we still can. So last year we did not do a lot of riding just because of the social distancing. I'm a recently retired RN, so I dealt with it from the very beginning, and now I volunteer and give out COVID vaccines 2 days a week, so I'm ready for it to be over.
All right, Katie, thanks for giving those vaccines. Good luck. I hope you could pull off that trip this year, or if not, then next year. It is a fine ride. I've done it in a car, not a motorcycle, I'll be honest. But Betsy, a lot of people, I think, in Katie's position, they've got this trip in mind, and they're not sure when they can actually, you know, make it a go for sure. Waiting for borders to open, places to open up, things like that.
Right. And then what I would do is just check the websites for each government. I was looking on different governments like the UK since I spent time in Scotland. And there they've posted a lot of different information on the requirements of travel. So I would check with Canada's websites as well as, you know, the United States and what their requirements are. It changes day to day. Bookmark them and get that report out and see what they need to do. But I think it would be okay as long as you have the vaccine. And as long as you follow the dictates of the country you're going to, you know, we should be able to travel. But again, if we look at the statistics, 18% to, you know, is still closed globally. You know, countries are closed because of different restrictions. So we need to check websites for governments to make sure we can travel.
Thanks a lot for that call, Katie, and good luck. I hope you get to go. Betsy Pudliner is with us from UW-Stout with the School of Hospitality Leadership there. You could join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about travel and tourism and the travel and tourism industries. And we heard on the Ideas Network Facebook page, Brandy writes that she'd like to do some traveling with her partner before their baby arrives. Both of them are vaccinated. She'd really like to go far enough that they have to fly because she loves plane rides. But Brandy says, not looking forward to seeing a lot of people, especially maskless people. She admits it's hard to not judge those groups, but it's something she needs to work on before traveling. And that gets back, Betsy, to what you were saying. When you travel, not everybody's going to necessarily observe the rules the way you do. I don't know, what kind of attitude can we take with us there?
Well, customer service is going to be really important over the next few years. If we don't see an uptick in travel until 2023 to pre-pandemic levels, I think we're going to have to work together on this. It's going to have to be an effort on all of our parts. Patience and that customer service for our industry is going to be really have to be injected a lot more into our day-to-day habits to ensure that needs are met. We have that responsibility. Know more, you know, gather information, know before you go. Travel, see all points of view, not just your own. We're all in this together because that's the only way we're going to be able to get out of it if we work together.
We'll go to Darren now on the line in Green Bay. Darren, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
As somebody who was born in England, I wish there was more clarity of information about what the rules are. You can look on various websites and so forth. But when England had the breakout of the more contagious strains of COVID and Brits were prevented from coming here, now there seems to be a little bit of political tit for tat, and they're saying that Americans are not allowed in Britain or having a tougher time getting in. I'm just wondering, I have the global pass, and I'm just wondering if there is going to be something done with the vaccinations. I've had both shots, so have my parents in England, but and all the Pfizer ones, but I'm wondering if a vaccine card can be added to people's passports to facilitate getting around the world a bit easier.
Darren, thanks a lot for that call. A big question I know we've talked about on the show, Betsy, the idea of proof of vaccine that could maybe free up travel a little sooner for some people. What kind of things are you hearing about that?
What I'm seeing is it's a good thing. A lot of countries are talking about it, including our own. But what my thoughts are is you have to ask some hard questions, though. Research that I've uncovered is people are concerned about privacy issues. That's a lot of data information that they're going to have to gather for that passport stamp or a card that you put in your passport. Identity theft could happen. What about our privacy laws? What if about a person who can't receive the vaccine due to medical reasons? Is there going to be problems with them traveling? I travel alone a lot. I have the vaccine. But, you know, what if I'm traveling alone and I have to be, you know, I'm denied entry because, you know, I have to quarantine and it cuts into my tour, you know, tour time with a group. Am I going to have to pay? Is that person that can't get the vaccine going to have to pay additional costs? Are there going to be additional restrictions imposed on them? Is it going to impede travels? Are they going to be discriminated against? Are they going to be segregated against? I think we're going to have to ask a lot more questions, but right now we're given a card. I know at Mayo for that we received the vaccine. Is that enough? So again, right now we're in a reactive mode, and I think our reactions have fallen short in the terms of delivering on information. So I think a lot of hard questions still need to be asked concerning vaccine passports. But I mean, that if that card's good enough that I got from Mayo, I would gladly put it in my passport.
And that's all the time we have, Betsy. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Betsy Pudliner, associate professor in the School of Hospitality Leadership at UW-Stout. We talked to her about what's ahead for travel and tourism in Wisconsin and beyond.